Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, everybody. Today is Monday, and it's the BBS call. And tonight, I read the thing that I almost never read, that Daphne was going to be on tonight and talking about her music. If you've been hearing the music playing, the flute playing, that's Daphne playing the flute. And she's very good at playing the piano also. She has some soundtracks, some records also. We greet you, and we are happy to welcome you tonight. Lynn should be here with the conference line people anytime. And Daphne, are you on the line?
I am, Terry. Thank you so much. Lovely to be here with you.
Yes. So Lynn should be here shortly with the conference call people. So what we have is a simulcast with people on BBS radio, and then also
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I start to hear the conference line people. So there's a number of people on the conference line, and you can begin to hear the dings, which means that people are calling in to the conference line. Every time you hear a ding, that's someone calling in to the conference line. Wynn, are you on the phone?
No.
Are you on BBS radio?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wynn 3.
Now, wait a second. I'm not doing this tonight. You and Daphne are doing it.
No, you have to... You have to put me in better if I'm doing it.
Daphne, are you on the line?
I am. I'm just like...
Speak a little louder.
And Wynn, you have wind in the mic.
I have wind in the mic?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yes.
You know, I just ordered another...
the recording still.
Yeah, I ordered another microphone, believe it or not.
To start conference recording, press 1. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is Monday, August 6th, Wynn 3, Terry and Daphne, and this is our Monday night conference call. Let me just see if everyone's volume is good. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Is my volume okay with you?
Perfect.
And Daphne, are you on the line?
I am here.
Your volume is really bad.
My volume is bad. Oh, that's... Ooh, let me try to make it up. Just a second.
I don't know if that's Seth, Doug's doing or not.
Can I give him a call?
The volume on the phone is all the way up. I don't know if there's anything I can do.
The volume on the phone is all the way up. Okay. Yeah, why don't you give him a call? Tell him to turn Daphne up. Hi, is Daphne low on the line for you?
Very low, yes.
Very low.
I can hear you very well. Yes,
pardon
I can
me?
Hear you.
You can hear me. Put your
will do.
Mouth closer to the mic, because you're our okay. featured person tonight, and
yes,
so you can't be quiet.
I understand. I'm hanging up. Okay, bye.
Okay. So I don't know if all of you were, how many of you listened to the Sunday grid healing call yesterday, but I thought Daphne was never going to speak to me because she decided to. Talk about something after she was supposed to be channeling, and I cut her off. And actually, we spoke right after the call, and I was expecting hell to pay, but actually, she said she understood, and maybe she was out of line, and she shouldn't have talked like that. So I said, you know, we were going to do a talk tonight on dreams, and I decided to change it, and go with the flow. Those are all people checking into our conference line. And we'll let them say hello to everybody that's listening on BBS. So what Daphne was talking about yesterday, I hope she comes back. Jeez. Jerry?
I'm here, Wynn. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
You're better now. What'd you do?
Doug called me back.
You're not perfect, but you're better. Okay.
Entry and exit times are off.
So let me open up the lines on the conference call for a moment. Hang on just a second.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
I cannot hear Daphne.
You cannot hear Daphne. Doug? Hello, Doug? Doug?
I don't know if he's still on, Wynn. I have the option of calling directly into the conference line with a 907 number. Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, last week you called the conference line, and then he complained nobody could hear you, you know?
Right, but everybody could hear me fine.
Why don't you try calling the conference line on your cell phone, okay?
I will do that. Okay, bye-bye.
Then you'll leave this one connected. Okay. I think the conference lines are open now. Anybody on there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Can you hear
me?
You have to be louder, though. You're not too loud. A little louder would be better.
Hello.
Better now.
Loud and clear for me.
Hey, Wynn.
Thank you for calling BBS Radio. All lines are busy. Please try again.
Oh, my God. Can you hear me better on the conference line?
Hello.
I hear you. Fine.
I hear you. I'm clear.
Okay, so somebody said I was too quiet. Daphne,
well,
are you there?
Well, a little muffled to me, but maybe that's my phone. I don't know.
All
you're
right.
Better now than you were, Wynn.
Okay. Somebody
will
get
out.
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
I hear
you. Thank you. Whatever you did.
Somebody will, someday we'll get all our technical issues together. Daphne, are you on the line?
Wynn.
Hello, Daphne. Hello, Daphne. Hello. All right.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Terry, you're not calling into the conference call, right?
Pardon me?
Daphne and Terry are not calling into the conference line.
No, both of them were on BBS. I hate to be doing this. We have a lot of people listening.
Wynn.
Yeah.
Wynn, this is Daphne. Can you hear me?
Oh, beautiful.
I hear you now, yeah.
Okay.
Are you on the conference?
Is that clear?
It's
I'm on
better.
The conference line on the cell phone, on 907 on the cell phone.
Well, it's better. Thank you. Okay. Doug, we're going to do it over here because we have no volume over here on Daphne, okay? Okay, can you hear me okay? Now, Daphne, say something.
Hi, Doug. This is Daphne.
Okay, she's coming in on the line, so we're fine, okay? So let's start the show. Let's get this show on the road. Thank you all for your patience. I know some of you are listening all over the place, and you're tuned into our work, and... You know, we put this together with Scotch tape. This is moving into being more professional, but we're not at that place yet. And so we're using free conference calls. We're on BBS Radio. And thanks for your patience. And I know many of you who keep checking in, your patience is rewarded because of the things that happen on these calls. And it's hard to explain. until you have your own experience. And, you know, the experience, I'm going to read an email. I get emails all the time, but we got an email. I won't say his last name. I didn't ask his permission to read his email. So his first name is Mike, and I'll read his email at some point in this call, because what's happening on these calls is an opportunity to expand your energy above the veil of this planet. And many of you are changing your path even because of these calls. And it's not because of what we say. And if there's a lot that goes on in between words, and it's hard to explain it linearly because your mind is saying, well, how do I hear what's going on in between the words? Well, it's a bit of a mystery. I don't know if even I can explain it in linear terms to anyone's satisfaction. I just know that it's working. And we have many, many people who've had that experience. And it's you're being introduced to friends in other dimensions. And when you have friends in other dimensions, it starts lifting your energy to the place where your friends are. That's a simple way of doing it, saying it. So it's you kind of got to hang in until you sense their friendship, their connection. And it helps to read the materials because your conscious mind and my conscious mind had said for a long time, this can't be real. I got to be making a mistake. And I still sometimes think that this can't be real. But yet here we are doing it. And part of the reason we're doing it is because so many people have had such great breakthroughs. And these are breakthroughs that are measurable, not just saying I feel better, although lots of people say they feel better. It's like different healings. Sometimes there's a synchronicity. There's a depression lift. Well, Mike sent me a great email about what was going on for him. And so, just to put it in the most simple terms, in between the spaces of the words, there's energy. And the key is for you to pay close attention to the spaces as well as the words. There's more going on in the spaces than the words. But we'll try to make the words interesting and enlightening. And one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is sacred geometry, music, and environment. And Daphne is fairly well tuned into those things. At one point, when we asked about the difference between the Elohim group and the Ra group, and that there are members of both groups existing on this planet right now, who most of them don't know they're from those groups. Most of them are enmeshed in worldly things. That's what happens when you're a higher dimensional being that comes into this realm. And they were quite distinct about the differences between these two group souls and how their differences exhibited in the physical. Now, in the biggest sense of the word, oftentimes people have created affiliations with both group souls. And that they may have characteristics of both. But in general, I seem to be more affiliated with the Ra group. Daphne is more affiliated with the Elohim group. And Terry is a mutt. Isn't that what they said, Terry? Hello,
yeah,
Terry.
They adopted me. I'm adopted.
You're an adopted Elohim?
Right.
they adopted you. Okay. So the characteristics of the Ra group are very worldly, very wise to the ways of the world. Why is that? Because we've had a lot of lifetimes here. You can see where you slot in as you hear these descriptions. We've had a lot of lifetimes, and even though I don't remember having a lot of lifetimes, innately I have an understanding of the way the world works, of the way people work, of the way the negative works. It's just inherent in my being, and it's not something you can teach somebody. It's like, probably one characteristic of a Ra group person is street smarts. And, you know, everywhere you've ever been, your energy still is, to some extent. So Ra group people, why do they call themselves wanderers? You know, Ra group souls who come into this realm, Ra calls them wanderers, because they spent many lifetimes probably exploring those different things. They want to see the universe. What's this? What's that? So one tendency of a Ra group person in this realm is they can... Now, this may not be across the board. This is my take on this. This is not all from channel sources. This is my take. One aspect of a Ra group person is they have the ability to make themselves at home anywhere. And in my case, of course, I traveled a lot. I felt more at home when I was traveling than I did in a house. Or I felt more at home in an RV. I felt free. I felt free of encumbrances than I did in a house. And I spent a lot of time, this lifetime, being here, there, and everywhere. Now, an Elohim soul... Now, in Daphne's case, she's an old soul, so this does not exactly fit her completely, but it's still in her nature. An Elohim soul needs to be grounded far more than a Ra soul. They want a house. They like family. They like connections. And when I asked about this, they explained, well, Elohim souls are coming in from such a celestial realm that they space out in this realm if they don't have something to contain them. And their families and their homes contain them. And so you'll find Elohim souls oftentimes are very strong on families. In some of our material, there was an indication that Mormons had a very high percentage of Elohim souls in their religion. And we're not making their religion better than any other or worse. Every religion has its problem and has its negative side to it, and everyone has its positive side. But Mormons, in particular, have a high percentage of Elohim souls. And you will see how tightly they stick together. If anyone knows Mormons, you'll see that they do love their homes, and they also don't have a lot of wisdom of this realm. Excuse me if you're a Mormon, but that's just the way it came through, because you're a new soul here. But the Elohim souls have this angelically strong presence. So if you look at Daphne, you can see that angelic presence in her. Even though she's been in this realm a long time, she still has it. So when you create a home environment, when you create a place to live, you are... Now, here's the terminology that they use and sometimes Daphne uses. You're creating geometries, interlocking geometries that can bridge you through dimensions. For example, some of you know the experience where you're really funked out, and suddenly you clean your house, you get rid of all the dirt, and your energy changes. Some of you know the experience of listening to music that has certain refined rhythms to it, and while you're listening to it, your energy shifts and changes. And so Daphne happens to be an Elohim musician. Her musician is very geometrical. We're going to play one of her pieces later tonight, if I can get Doug to turn it on correctly. And if not, I'll send it out in an email. But she has a very intricate way of creating melodies that intertwine. And yesterday, on the grid healing, she started talking about that. And I know part of her passion has always been to express her music. And as I said in the email I sent out, sometimes channels want to be humans. They want to be felt as humans. They don't just want to be people that are liaisons to other realms. And in fact, Edgar Casey had a very hard time with that. He had to bite his tongue to be a channel for his entire life. And those of you who are paying attention to David Wilcock know that the last thing David wants to do is be publicly known as a channel, okay? He is expressing himself in his own human way, in his own brilliant way, and it's important for him to have his own expression recognized. So with that, and also I want to add to this, Terry herself is an artist. She's not painting now, but she used to paint. And she has a memory of being the assistant of some famous guy. Terry, who was the guy you were affiliated with?
Rembrandt.
Rembrandt. And in fact, she painted some of his paintings paintings that got sold under his name. They covered up her name, or she never put it on, because she got so good at imitating Rembrandt. So what is art? Art is, at its highest, it's a way of creating rhythms and melodies that change the geometries of this realm that can access, if they're the right rhythms and melodies, higher dimensions. So it can access lower dimensions. It's like it all has to do, say, with music, with the rhythm, you have the bass, boom, 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 boom. It's like a low vibration, a lower chakra vibration. And then you might have the piccolo, which is very high chakra vibration. And then you have a band that has all of it together, and it's more complicated than your mind can understand, than my mind can understand. But the intricacies of the way it's all put together are what can change your consciousness. And, of course, throughout history, music is the most powerful way of shifting consciousness. In fact, it's one of the reasons that in many cases when an artist becomes extremely successful through his music and has a lot of influence, the negative will try to control that artist because it's too powerful. And on that note, let me just ask a couple questions or have Daphne share whatever she'd like to share regarding what I just shared. I'm talking about her, so she may want to amend something that I'm saying. Are you there, Daphne?
I am. And thank you so much for that really wonderful introduction, Wynn. And I'm so happy to be here with Wynn and Terry. And on the note that Wynn was just talking about you know, what is art? You know, art at its pinnacle, it is vibrational formation. And it's usually a much more perfected vibrational formation or sacred geometrical formation than what we ordinarily experience in our everyday consciousness. In the case of visual art, Terry is an extremely gifted painter in the tradition of the old Dutch masters. It's in the form of color, and the vibration lies in the color and in the shading and in the textures and the formation of the visual perception and the acuity that a person would see when they were actually looking at a scene and then transferring that scene to a canvas. And then, of course, you've got, live art, street art, theater, we have dance, we have drama, you know, we have so many amazing forms
of, you know, performance art that's come, you know, onto the scene now. And then, you know, with music, of course, it's auditory. You know, it's what reaches your ears and what reaches your eardrum. And the vibration is palpable. But many years ago, in my, I guess the foundation for a lot of the ways that I've thought about this has come through the work of Jane Roberts and the Seth material. And Jane wrote a book called The World View of Paul Cézanne, the Artist. And she also wrote about William James, the philosopher. And I just want to touch on Robert's work because I believe it really was a launching point, a kind of a stepping-off place, that I started really thinking about the arts and also about the work of people like James, and along with James, I always think about William Blake, and I know that Wynn has talked about William Blake. And people like
Daphne?
Him, you know...
Daphne?
Yes.
You know what? Tell people who Jane Roberts is and who William Blake is, because they may not know, okay? Or
okay.
If you want, I'll tell...
Sure.
Yeah.
No, actually, go ahead. You take it over. That's great.
I'll just tell a little bit, then I'll turn it back to you. Jane Roberts was a channel, and she had a number of books out, and she was channeling an entity that was named Seth. And her material, probably 20 years ago, was very influential. And Seth was apparently, I asked this question, because I always question, is Seth part of a group soul? Is he an individual entity? And they said he was an individual high entity. That when you go on the other side, you know, we make it simple. We say Elohim group, Ra group. But there's all kinds of beings. Some of them choose to be more loners, and some of them operate in groups with sub-councils. And Seth was kind of a loner. And he brought through brilliant explanations through Jane Roberts of how the dimensions work. And I think she had one book called The Nature of Reality, didn't she?
The Nature of Personal Reality, yes. That's
The Nature of Personal Reality. And it was very enlightening stuff, and I read it. And in fact, I should say, this is funny, one time I was in L.A., and I was in the bathroom, and I was reading the Seth material, one of Seth's books. And I came out of the bathroom, and I mentioned it to Terry, and she suddenly said, Seth is here now. Do you want to talk to him? This is how, what amazes me is how what we put into our mind brings in the energy of the being. That's why it's so good to read our materials, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and the Elohim book, and listen to their channelings, because those beings that are at high levels, they seem like they're far away, and they're not really. They can be right in your space, right next to you, energetically. They're not the center of them. The center of them stays far away, but they can project. And through the field, when somebody is tuning into the frequency, and in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, it says, as you study us, we study you. Now, that's who Jane Roberts is. William Blake, and he was a guy that I read quite a bit of 30 years ago, and he had books, and he was an amazing painter, and his paintings were all extremely mystical and trying to make representations of the higher realms and the lower realms with various angelic forces, various beings that looked like gods. And you can look them up on the internet, William Blake paintings, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And he also had all these sayings. And I remembered I was reading his sayings, and I had little realizations as I read his sayings. I mean, two of them that I even remember now, both of them impacted me. One was, he who catches the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise. And I understood that. I understood that there's a part of a human that wants to possess something, wants to possess joy. So, for example, probably one of the greatest things that brings joy to a human is the connection with another being, a member of the opposite sex. And almost everyone gets possessive. And when you, I'm sure you, many of you have had the experience of going into a relationship, and at the beginning, it was so floaty and dreamy and beautiful, and later on, it got mundane and it got routine, and you lost that sensation at the beginning. And I think the reason that occurs is because within the context of possession, people lose that innocence and that not knowing what's going to happen next. And that's an example of he who catches the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise, and he who binds himself to a joy does the winged life destroy. Now, that doesn't mean one should be promiscuous. You can catch the joy as it flies with the same person. And Daphne had this thing that she used to say about the winds of heaven. Remember that saying?
Yes, yes. The wind, let the winds of heaven always dance between you.
And to me, that means that even if you're with a person, don't think that you possess them. Share, as long as you can stay in the place of sharing essences and staying innocent and realizing, in fact, that they're divine, that you have a part of divine creation that's making a commitment to you, and vice versa. If you stay in that space, then you can come together, enjoy, and then there's times when you're not connected at all. And that's one of the problems is when people feel suddenly unconnected, they start to demand the connection as if the person could choose to give it to them. And then it goes from bad to worse at that point, because if you can just accept the moment, then things will flow in and out. And the more you accept that, the more moments of joy you'll have. Well, I understood that when I was younger. It made sense to me, and it connected to things I was already learning in my own experiences. And then another William Blake saying, and this one really blew my mind, was the path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. The path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. Now, at the time I discovered that quote, I was, like, consciously moving into wanting to be spiritual. And all the things I was reading about spirituality was saying, it's good to be celibate. It's good not to do this and not to do that. And I was kind of trying that at the time, and I was walking around with a constant headache. So when I read that, I said, maybe I should be more open to the experiences I need. And I realized that you can learn wisdom two ways. You can learn it vicariously, like if someone else has experiences and they're talking about their experiences, and that you can learn from their experiences so you may not have to do them yourself. Or you can do them yourself. You go into various pain and suffering, and after a while, you figure out, enough is enough, I can see what I'm doing, I can see how the experiences, whether it's drugs, whether it's a lot of partners, whatever, it's like when you finally move out of it, you're wiser than the person that learned it vicariously, because you know it from the core of your being. You've experienced it. You've had the pain. So that was an amazing quote. The path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. And so I'll just turn it back to you, Daphne. Go ahead.
Wow. that's a tough one to follow. You know, you actually had sent me an email about that, and it's interesting because I've had my experiences where I've been on both ends of the spectrum, and you can also, you know, have an excess with the ascetic life as well, you know, and that ultimately will bring you around full circle. But very, very valuable and very, very profound thing. So we were talking about William Blake, and we were talking about Jane Roberts, and one of the interesting things about Seth and the Seth material was that Jane Roberts asked Seth if he had ever been embodied in a human, in consciousness. And according to the Seth material, Seth had not taken a human form. Now, this is interesting because if you compare him with someone like Ramtha, who's been brought in by J.Z. Knight, Ramtha was supposed to be a warrior in India about 35,000 years ago. And here's an example of excess leading to wisdom. Ramtha, from what I'm familiar with about his teachings, was a warrior who, for many lifetimes, plundered and pillaged and, exhibited the worst of being a human being in a human body. And after many lifetimes of killing, and more bloodshed, he finally opened his heart, and he finally opened his path to wisdom. And that was his path to enlightenment. And since tonight seems to be about tools for getting people to start moving into the more sacred aspects of life and how to support those with sacred geometries, a great way to do that, obviously, is through the books that we read and the CDs that we listen to and the music that we expose ourselves and our environment. A book that I know had a profound influence on me, also on Wynn. I don't know if Terry is familiar with it, but also Steve Jobs read it for every year of his adult life. So I think that's very interesting, that the whole iPhone and the whole Apple phenomena, which has changed our world, has been indirectly influenced by this person who I'm about to mention, and it's Paramahansa Yogananda. And I highly, highly, highly recommend that you read his autobiography of a yogi, which was written, I think it was in 1946.
That book is available as a free download now. If you look up Autobiography of a Yogi, a PDF file, you'll find it on the Internet.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that, Wynn. One of the places that I've visited many times, and I visited there with Wynn, and Wynn has a dear friend who is a gifted artist who lives in the same town, Encinitas, California, between San Diego and Los Angeles. That is the SRF Temple. And there's also the Self-Realization Fellowship Temple in L.A., not too far away. But I would really recommend people take a drive and spend the afternoon or spend the day there. They have a lovely bookstore. And you can get recordings. You can see DVDs of Yogananda speaking. But he had a very, very, very profound impact on my life. When I moved to California, I became a devotee. And I was involved with an ashram, Ananda, in Palo Alto for many, many years, and it was a formation time for me, and gave me some really powerful tools and insights. Okay, back to you, Wynn.
Back to me. Well, mm-hmm. Daphne has always been almost a master at environment. And I remember at one point I thought she was overdoing it. I am like kind of Spartan. You don't need anything. And we had some conversations with the LO team, and they were explaining how important it was for her to have structure. And I learned this to be absolutely true. I understand it now intrinsically, how important it was for her to have structure around her and refinement, and that she was able to contain her energy within the structure. Because when there was no structure, it was like she was falling out of herself. She couldn't contain herself in her body. And she would get really dispersed, disoriented, and what's another word?
Spaced out.
So I started to understand that in her nature, and I started to understand. This is probably true for all people, but for certain people more than others. When you're in a contracted state, when you are in a depressed state, when you start structuring your environment, when you start listening to uplifting, high-vibe music and reading books, it starts to restructure your space. And the Elohim might use the term restructure your geometries, because from their point of view, you are not your body. You're occupying your body, and you're an energy field, and that energy field can move through dimensions. And when your space is structured, it causes you to reach up higher. And when you're now, this is maybe not true for everyone, and I'm not sure it's completely true for me, because I can operate in kind of distorted environments, and I'm able to take them into consideration, and I seem to be able to still stretch. But even I feel the difference when I start straightening things up. It's kind of like everything around you has an energy to it. So when things around you are messy, when they are unorganized, and also what happens to a lot of people is they have things around them from their past, and it's very hard to sort them out because every object has a memory to it. So instead of straightening it out, you're in the middle of an environment with this mumbo-jumbo of physical objects, all having memories, and you're in the middle of all your memories, and you wonder why you're having trouble breaking through. And that's one of the reasons, because I wrote a song a long time ago. Someday I'll be putting my music out. It's called Clean Up the Bedroom. And I remember the experience, because when you're in an environment like that, it is really hard to get started. It's like you get real, I mean, this is my experience, I get really tired. I look at things, I move something, it takes a huge amount of willpower to start straightening it out, because you have to look at each of these objects that has a memory attached to it, whether even if it's a good memory, it still has a memory. And when you're sitting in the middle of all your memories, you're stuck, because you're not in the now. You're in your memories. You know, Terry is being quiet in the background here. And, Terry, what would you like to contribute to this conversation?
Well, I was just thinking, like in the channeling that I did on Sunday, I was getting, before I did the channeling, I went into the state, and I was getting information from the Elohim. They were organizing a little bit and telling me what they were going to say a little bit. And they were going to start out with the importance of music and art and the importance of musicians and artists in uplifting people in the realm. And so then Daphne went into it. So this is a very apropos subject.
Thank you.
You know, let me see if Doug is listening. If Doug, are you listening? I was gonna play one of Daphne's musical compositions. And when you listen to this, you can hear how Daphne starts into a rhythmic, melodic track on the harp. And just as you think you know what's going to happen next, it changes. Isn't that just like a woman, Daphne?
Oh, okay. The harp is slightly out of tune, but it's okay. We'll go with it.
Quality is terrible over the phone line. It was probably okay over the internet line. I can't tell. Maybe I'll send that piece out on an email tomorrow, and you can hear it and you can play it. And I put together some of Daphne's old pieces, and I'm going to put them out for people probably tomorrow. So watch your emails. And Daphne plays a multitude of instruments, and when I met her, she was in a band called Harper's...
Electric Angel.
Electric Angel, and it was a couple of harps in that band, right?
Four women harp players, electric harp.
Four women electric harp players, and she was playing around in the Bay Area. And
so yeah, I was a very active member of the Harper's Hall of the Bay Area, which is probably one of the most active Celtic music organizations in the U.S. and Canada. And I had met Berlene Schirmer, who is one of the founders, and she is a really gifted jazz vocalist and an incredible musician. Check out Verlene on the internet. It's Schirmer, Schermer, first name Verlene. She's put out probably 10 albums at this point. She's won a lot of awards. And she's a dear friend and tremendous musician. And I met her one night, and I went out and bought a harp, or rented one, the next day, and started studying with her in 1997. And the harp was really powerful and very magic for me, because I took to it like a fish to water. Pretty much within a year, I was recording and performing in all over the West Coast with other people. And this group was magical because we had people of all ages and all abilities, and we were all playing together. And many people were multi-instrumentalists. A lot of people were very gifted, also in high tech and in publishing. So we had people, you know, that had great home recording studios, and it was with the advent, you know, the internet was just, you know, coming into full force, and we had digital, you know, we had like small digital recording equipment, you know, digital cassettes had just come out, and digital tape recordings, and we were doing some really awesome stuff. It was really, really, it was the most creative period of my life, and I really enjoyed it tremendously. It was quite a gift. And I was married to Robert Berger at the time, who was he's a tech extraordinaire, and he's still living in the Bay Area. And he was very supportive of my music, and he's just like, you know, go get more instruments, you know. So our house we lived up on the top of a mountain in Saratoga, and my living room was a grand piano and about four harps, and I actually had a theremin. Wynn, do you know what a theremin is?
Yeah, I have a theremin, too. It's,
you have a theremin, too?
it's what the Beach Boys did in that song, Good Vibration.
That's right.
Hey, listen, before we get thrown off the air, I'm getting close, I wanted to bring Terry in. And because Terry is an artist, she's actually a great artist, and then she stopped painting, and then she had memories of being Rembrandt's assistant. And Terry, what made you start painting, and what made you stop?
I had a love of painting, and that's the reason I started painting. In fact, that's the reason I chose my mother in this lifetime, because I was near her, watching her. She was doing illustrations in color for a book, and she had so much patience. And I remember, I didn't have a body at the time, but I was just an energy being, just watching her with these tiny little ink strokes and then color that she put with little brushes. And I was so much, I put her on a pedestal that she could take the patience and could make beautiful illustrations like that, and the blues, greens, and it was like to do with plants. She was illustrating a book and flowers, and she had done some actually exquisitely beautiful watercolors and paintings. And she was an architect, and she designed churches and schools. She was one of the first graduates, women graduates, at Berkeley in the 1920s. And so I wanted to pursue the art world just because of the love of it and combining colors and making beautiful, beautiful murals for people. And I also was sort of metaphysical, and my father used to talk to me about Edgar Cayce. There'd be an electric lightning storm when I was a kid, and we'd get up in the middle of the night, and I was a ham radio operator, so we'd make sure that that the antenna was grounded so it wouldn't attract lightning. And we would just sit, and he'd have coffee, and we'd talk about Edgar Cayce long into the night. They had some pretty good electric storms there in New York where I grew up. So I had these different, these major things that I wanted to express. I wanted to express art, and I wanted to learn about metaphysics and the why of things. And I became a physics major, but it sort of just describes why, or what happened with formulas and things. And So then I went more into the metaphysics of things. But that what happened to art, it kind of got replaced by my love of metaphysics and my desire to understand what was going on. How could there be? How could there, anything exist? And I just had this passion to learn about life. And also it replaced to some degree my expression of art.
Thank you. You know what? I wanted to read a couple of emails we got. And this is the one I was mentioning early. You know, I said that people that come into these calls have... Now, this is not... Even though we have good energy on this call, this is one of those human calls where everybody's speaking from their human side. And we do that occasionally because that helps people's human side feel expressed. But this is from someone who's come into our calls. Amazing Sunday call yesterday. I'm listening to the playback. I'm glad what you said. I truly enjoy the work we're all doing. I've been coming for 6 weeks now, and my life is transformed. I've gone from being a moody person to constantly happy. I now have a job after being unemployed for 5 months. I'm getting calls about jobs, thinking about starting a business, and I'm able to communicate with others from my heart, not my mind. I can even see auras and feel energies from others. I can't tell you how amazing this experience has been. I feel like I'm really aligned with myself, and I'm so joyous. I really enjoy being part of this work. And then while we've been talking, I got an email from Christine in Alaska. And she was listening to your harp music, and she said, your harp piece was wonderful on the Internet, BBS Radio. Does she sell her music? I would love to buy her music. I love her sensibility. Thank you. And that's from Chris in Anchorage, Alaska. Daphne, somebody thinks you're sensible.
And I think the word is sensibilities.
Yeah, sensibilities.
Thank you, Chris.
And I'm going I don't have a CD, but I'm going to put it down as a download tomorrow, where you can get 7 of Daphne's songs for a very nominal price. And now here's another one that came in. Just so you know, what Daphne said on Sunday call when I cut her off was exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you, Daphne. I came into the call a little late due to my Sunday commitment. Just as I came in, when you introduced or invoked the sources and introduced Daphne, she then said she was using her conscious mind and proceeded to give me the feeling she was talking directly to me. For me, you cut her off at exactly the right time as she was starting to tell us about some radio station. And I totally appreciate what she said, and Terry gave a fabulous channeling as well. Monday's call's technical issues were resolved, and we're starting, so I'll sign off for now. And that's from Barbara. Thanks for all that you do. Now, on that note, Doug is letting us run over, and we're going to disconnect. Watch your emails tomorrow, and you'll see something on Daphne's music come in. And I thank you both, Daphne and Terry, for being here and sharing. And we focused on Daphne to compensate for the fact that I cut her off yesterday, and she wasn't even mad at me, which was a wonderful experience. Okay, so we'll say goodnight to everybody, and I'll open up in a second.
Callers are muted.